Well, if you want to turn your Bibles to Psalms 120, the title of this message is On Our Way to Worship. As we read 120, it's not going to sound like it's a song of worship. In fact, it's a song of disaster. But I'll explain to you why I'm going to lead off of this in just a few moments. Alex, I am humming a little bit. Psalm 120 starts out, "In my distress I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, or what shall be done to you, you false tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior with coals of the broom tree. Woe is me that I dwell in Mesk, that I dwell there among the tents of Kedar. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I'm for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." Today we're going to start a series of sermons having to do with worship. Psalm 120 through 134 is considered psalms of ascent. The word ascent means to go up. So these psalms were taken from Psalm 120 to 134, 15 psalms made into songs to sing as they worship going up the mountain of Jerusalem to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we get into this in the next couple of weeks, we start out at Psalm 120, and it is a song that sounds just like it's all disaster. How in the world can you worship during a time of disaster? But the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 16 that the Israelites were told by God to worship him three times on the mountains of Jerusalem. The first celebration of the first week would be the Feast of Passover. As they went to worship him, their hearts would be overjoyed because God passed over the ones up behind the closed doors, the Israelites. The second service was the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, and this was the celebration of the first fruits of the harvest season. And then the third celebration was the Week of Booths or Tabernacles, which was the celebration of the final harvest, where they would gather everything in the storehouse for the coming year. So God commanded them to worship at least three times on the top of the mountain of Jerusalem and to worship God. So I want you to kind of picture the scene with me. Put yourself back 3,000 years ago, and as you do, realize how privileged you are today to have padded pews, air conditioning, heating. You've got a vehicle. If you came, probably didn't walk. If you did, you had shoes on your feet to get you here. God has blessed us in a great way. But I want you to go back all the way to 3,000 years ago when they started singing these songs as they ascended the mountainside of Jerusalem to get up to the top to worship God. And realize they did not have cars or buses or things like that. They had to load their belongings in a cart or a wheelbarrow or something to push it up there. It wasn't an overnight deal. It sometimes took weeks for them to get up there. They had to do a lot of planning. Had to gather the kids and food for the kids. You can just imagine what they went through. But as they did, they gathered together on the little paths sometimes, and sometimes they had to walk over boulders and carry all that stuff. They sang these songs to each other and to the Lord, preparing to meet God on top of the hill, on top of the mountain, and worship him. And the first song that they sang had to do with disaster. How in the world does that get us ready for worship? And this whole message today is going to be surrounded by disaster, disaster, disaster. And realize this, that as we go through disasters, God is with us. Amen. So we get to the other side of disaster. We look back and see where God took care of every need that we had. He held our hand through it. We could feel his presence with us. So as we get through this disaster, we're going up to worship God. We can look back and think, whew, God took care of us. That begins the worship in our hearts. So let's start in chapter 120 of Psalms and look at verse 1 with me. Realize this is just a song of distress. He starts out, "In my distress I cried to the Lord," and then the Bible says, "and he heard me." Warren Grisby writes that guitarist seems a fit hymn for a group of people to be singing this song as they go and come out to worship God. But then he also tells us to compare it to Psalm 42, where David writes, "My soul pants for you as deer pants for water. I pant my soul. I seek you. I'm asking God to meet me."
Thank you.
business. He cares for us. These pilgrims, they're starting this journey to get to the top of the mountain to worship one of these in times of worship. With joy in their heart, knowing that God's heard their prayers and God cares for them, and they're celebrating God's faithfulness to them. They're celebrating that God's got the ability to save them. Now, again, I want you to picture this, because this isn't just four or five people gathered together. This is tribe after tribe after tribe. This is all these cities getting together wherever they're at. They're all instructed by God in Deuteronomy to go up to the top of the mountain and worship God. So you've got hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people getting together, looking back, seeing where God has been faithful in their lives, bringing them to this point, and they're singing Psalm 120, and then they'll go through Psalm 134 all the way through. And then you think after singing these 15 psalms together that they quit, yet somebody will start them up again, and they start the whole thing up again, and they spent the whole time the songs of ascent as they went up the hillside and sang with joy in their hearts. What a privilege it is, God. They, I don't know if they raise their hands and say, walk to God, but I would. What a privilege it is, God, to sing these songs to you, knowing that we go through the disasters after disasters, and as we go through the disasters, we get on our knees and we cry out to God, and then the Bible says He hears us. Well, look at verse 2. Deliver my soul. And the lion lives in the deceitful tongue is bothering this man. But again, fill in the blank. What do you need God to deliver you from right now? Are there things going on in your life other than the COVID stuff? Are there financial difficulties? Are there family issues? Are there marriage issues? Are there just, I don't want to be a church issues, or are there just any issue? The Bible says in verse 2, deliver my soul, Lord, from whatever you're going through. So verse 1, cry out to God. Verse 2, Lord, deliver my soul. And I promise you, if it's in the Bible, that God means it. He's going to take care of whatever it is that we're going through. Deliver my soul. Right, we're surrounded by his enemies. We're surrounded by life stuff. I need to pause. Let me ask you this. Have you heard from me disaster yet? We are in the middle of disaster, right? Some of you are going in for a major test tomorrow. That could cause you worry. You got rehab coming up. Like you got job issues. So we have things we need to deliver. So I want you to hear that. We've got problems, disasters in our lives. And I'm not making light of it. That's what we're faced with. And that's what the writers of Psalm 120 were faced with. Yet they get out of this pathway, and it's not a pleasant pathway to travel either. And they're praising God. They're raising their hands to God. Thank you, God, for what we've been through. Because God brought them through that. So there's a couple verses that I always claim that have become so very important, realizing the disasters we go through. God tells us to cry out to Him, and He hears our prayers. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. If you're going through something, disaster, health issue, home issue at home, finance issue, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 becomes really important to you in your life. If you're going through, verse 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Isn't that marvelous to know? We humble ourselves under that mighty hand of God. Have you ever felt the mighty hand of God on you? I promise you, when you do, you don't move. I mean, it's a good feeling, but it's also, you feel those fingers wrapped around you. You feel His power. You don't get outside of it when He's got that hand on you. You're under His power. It's a great feeling. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. So He's got that mighty hand on you, and whatever you're going through, sometimes He allows it to happen so that what? That you'll get closer to him and you'll pray more to him and you'll trust in him more. So he's got that hand on you. But in due time, he's going to lift you up. He's going to exalt you out of these troubles. Then look at verse 7. This is a great verse. Cast all your care upon Jesus, for he cares for you.
Amen.
Now I'm going to go around the room. I'm going to start right here. We'll go all the way around and look at every one of you. Every one of you will see it. All the way around. And the Bible says he cares for you. I'm seeing people that he cares for. Does that make you feel good? To know that Jesus cares for you? Yeah, we go through disasters, we go through stuff of life, we go through financial issues, we go through all that junk. God still cares for us. You can be the worst sinner in the world, and he still cares for you. He died on the cross for you. He gave his life up for you. He spilled his blood for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we dancing over that. Well, we just jumping up, hallelujah. Bobby, if you start dancing, I'm going to. Cast all your care on Jesus, for he cares for you.
Amen.
Psalm 120 starts out, woe is me, Lord, I'm crying out to you. I need your help. And the Bible says he hears me. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast those cares on Jesus, because he cares for you. Run back up a couple of verses to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. In other words, the eyes of the Lord are on those saved. And he hears, his ears are open to the prayers. So God's eyes are on us, and he hears our prayers. Cast your cares on the throne of God. And then Peter tells us here, the eyes of the Lord are on us, his children. And he hears our prayers, but there's a but in there too. The face of the Lord is those who do evil. So you saved or not. If you're not saved, then his face is on those evil and they will pay the price. The promise to us is cast your cares on me. I care for you. I love you. I'm your Lord. I'm your God. I hear your prayer. And then chapter 5 of 1 John, verses 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Jesus. Remember, cast your cares on him at the foot of the cross because he cares for you. In 1 Peter 3, he hears the prayers of the righteous. He hears the prayers of his children. And then now, chapter 5, verse 14 of 1 John. Now this is the confidence that we have in Jesus. And if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've already asked for. So put all these verses together. Think about Psalm 120. Think about Psalm 42. That's deer pants for water. That deer's being chased by a hunter. He's about to lose his life, and he gets to that river, and he just panicked for that water. He's been running a long time, and he just needs God. When we're going through disaster, we're panicking for God. We just need God. God tells us, cast those burdens on me, the disasters you're going through. And as you pray to me in my will, you've already got the answer. So in Psalm 120, verse 5 and verse 7, the psalmist writes, woe is me. Woe is me. As we go through disasters and we cry, woe is me, again, go with me 3,000 years ago. You're going through something. I'm crying out, woe is me, Lord, woe is me. And I'm traveling that path, and sometimes you've got to step like this. You step over a boulder, and then times it's wide, but then there's 1,000 people behind you, and 1,000 people before you. And woe is me. What's up at the top of the hill? A time of worship with the Lord. And I've gone through this disaster. Now I can look back and I can see the hand of God on that disaster as I went through it. He was with me. Right this very moment, I'm on that path to worship God. And I'm singing these songs. And in my heart, I'm excited. I'm excited about meeting Jesus up on top of the mountain of Jerusalem with all the other people. So I'm singing these songs. I'm looking back, see, he took care of me at this right, this moment. He's with me, taking care of me. And guess what he's going to do in the future?
Amen.
He's going to take care of me. These people are excited about going up to worship with God.
Amen.
No matter what they've been through, they saw the hand of God all over it. What they're going through right now, they saw the hand of God all over it. But they also see the hand of God on stuff they haven't even gone through yet, because he's there. That's his promise. I care for you. I love for you. Cast those cares on me. I don't know. I even get any more excited about disasters. You know, it's kind of hard to go through, isn't it? But isn't it great to know that God puts that mighty hand on top of you? So you can be going through the worst thing in the world, and you've got the hand of God right on you, and he's like a puppet. You know, he's got his hand on you. He goes this way, you go that way. You go that way, because that mighty hand's not going to let you go. Somebody asked me yesterday, I'm making sure my wife is over there. Somebody asked me yesterday how long I've been married. And I told them how long. 46 years. And they asked me, had it all been happy? Now, my wife was right there. What do you think I said? I don't have stupid written across, do I? Yeah, all 46 years were great. But they really were. I had no problems. They were, yes, they were good. You know why they were good? Because early on in my life, God put his hard, strong hand on my shoulders and guided me through the crumble of marriage. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that we don't like in marriage. But it was mostly my fault. God put that strong hand on me, and he had hold of me, and I couldn't do anything but do what God said to me. But after looking back, I'm so grateful to God for putting his hand on me during those tough times, because you know Rhonda, she'd have killed me, or she'd have left me. I used to have hair. Guess what happened to it? One at a time, she plucked it out for me. Facebook, sorry. These are pretty good verses to know, because we're going through disasters. We'll continue to go through disasters. It's awfully, what a privilege it is to look back and see where God's hand is on us during those times. We come out of it, and he's commanded us to worship him, so we come out of it knowing that God's with us right there. And then we look forward to the future, and God's with us. God just makes me want to yell out. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. I can't help it. That's what it makes me feel like. Well, let me tie all these thoughts together. There is a slew of people in the Old Testament and New that went through hardships. And every time they went through a hardship, God drew them closer to them. Remember Jacob and Esau? Jacob stole Esau's birthright, and they separated. They had separated for years and years and years, and Jacob was really scared of Esau. And finally, they were going to go back and get together, but as they got together, Jacob was still scared of Esau. He thought Esau was going to kill him. And then Jacob and the angel of the Lord wrestled overnight and hurt Jacob's hip. But yet, the hand of God was on Jacob. The hand of God was on Esau. What happened as they got together? Esau didn't try to kill Jacob. Esau tried to kiss him, hug him, kiss him with a brotherly kiss. God had his hand during this disastrous time when both of them brought them together. And you don't get any better than that. You see the hand of God on both of them, see the hand of God as they get together, and then they go off in the future, and you still see the hand of God in the future for them. Remember Joseph? Coat of many colors, and the brothers were jealous of them. They wanted to kill them, so they took them out and threw them in a pit. But then they decided to sell them into slavery. That's exactly where he went to, in prison. Yet, didn't he become the second most important person in Egypt? He received the hand of God on Joseph, even as he was in the pit. He was in the prison. He was in Potiphar's house. killed over that, yet there's God's hand on. But what happened when God put his hand on Joseph and then those brothers had to come get food? Can you see both those hands on both of them and all together? At the end, they love each other, care for each other, forgive each other. Joseph takes care of them. Time and time again, we see the hand of God in disastrous situations. Yet when his hand's on either end of it, he brings it together. He cares for our souls. He cares for his people. Paul went through shipwreck meetings. You name it, Paul went through it. Yet he saw the hand of God. In every place Paul went, he saw churches started, people get saved. At the end, Paul died knowing that he had a reward waiting for him in heaven. All this came to light when I looked at Moses in chapter 32. So I want us to go to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and look at what was probably a disastrous time, we would think, in Moses' life. Deuteronomy 32, verses 48 through 52. I realize we've been talking about the stressful times and things that we go through with life. So Moses has delivered the people. They're fixing to cross into the promised land. So the Lord spoke to Moses that very same day, saying, go up this mountain of Abram, Mount Nebo, which is the land of Moab, across from Jericho. View the land of Canaan. Notice that. View it. You can see it, Moses. I've given this land to the children of Israel as a possession. Verse 50. And Moses, you died on the mountain which you ascend and be gathered to your people, just as Aaron your brother died on the Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. Verse 51, because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah and Kadesh, the wilderness of Zin, because you did not hallow me in the midst of the children of Israel. So we would think death would be the most disastrous thing we could face, but you don't hear Moses saying, why, Lord? You don't hear Moses saying, woe is me, Lord. God has his hand on Moses, and God knows what's going to take place in the future. And here's what he does. He tells Moses face to face, you're going to die. Every single one of us is going to die, by the way. You're going to die. And most of us cry, oh, Lord, why? I'm not ready to leave yet. I don't want to leave my wife, my family yet. Oh, please don't take me, Lord. But God knows what's waiting on the other side, and this world doesn't compare to that side. Heaven and the perfectness of heaven, the paradise of heaven, is what's waiting for Moses, and it's what's waiting for us as we go through some of these disastrous times. Lord, thank you for what's waiting for me. Thank you for what's waiting for you guys. Again, all this, how do we come to church? Do we come to church to worship God? Do we come to church to feel the hand of God on us? Or do we come to church because we've always come to church? That's just the thing we're doing. Maybe we come to church to sing songs and not worship Him, just to sing songs. Maybe we come to church to gather and see each other. But the truth of the matter is, these people were told to go up to the top of the mountain to worship God, to leave the disasters, leave the stuff of life down here. And we gather in here to worship God. Do you worship God? We'll be in the presence of Jesus as believers. We'll be in paradise with Jesus. get to heaven, it's going to be paradise. No more tears, no more hurts, no more disasters, no more cancer, no more heart attack, no more Alzheimer's, no more... Almighty Father, after studying this, I thank you for the disasters. Because they just draw us closer to you. They help us to worship you more, Father. As we go through these disasters and see the hand of God with us, we just want to come out of a disaster and praise God. Thank you for being with us and telling others, Father, what you've done for us. I pray, Lord, during this time of invitation that you speak to our hearts. Show us, Father, who you are. Take the words and pierce our hearts, Father. If there's something we need to confess, help us to confess it. Father, if we need to give our life to you, help us to surrender our lives to you. I pray, Lord, for this time. It's your time to give.